Brethren, this past Feast of Trumpets, I gave a message showing how God's presence entered the temple after Solomon placed the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies on the Feast of Trumpets, and also mentioned a little bit about God's presence and glory today. Now in 1 Kings chapter 10, or chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10 through 13, it says, "And it came to pass, when the priest came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Eternal, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Eternal filled the house of the Eternal. Then Solomon spoke. The Eternal said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever." In this message, we're going to focus on God's presence, the glory of the Eternal, otherwise known as His Shekinah. The title of this is Shekinah. Let me spell that for you. S-H-E-K-I-N-A-H. Shekinah. It also can be spelled with a C-H instead of the K, but it has the same sound. Now, some people pronounce it Shekinah. Some people, Shekinah. I'm going to use Shekinah for right now. I've heard people say Shekinah. The Hebrews, when they pronounce it, they get that, you know, Shekinah. You know, I can't do that. I'm not Hebrew. Anyways, Shekinah is a Hebrew word that means that which dwells, or the dwelling, or to dwell. It's one of the expressions that is used in the Targums in place of God. The word Shekinah is a constant occurrence in the Targums, which are translations of the Hebrew Bible, also called the Tanakh, that professional translators would give the common language of the listeners when it was not Hebrew, when they didn't understand Hebrew. This had become necessary near the end of the first century B.C. as the common language was Aramaic, and Hebrew was used just a little bit more than, you know, for the schooling and worship. The translator frequently expanded his translation with paraphrases, explanations, and examples, so it became kind of like a sermon. Now, there's two Targums. There's the Targum Ankilos on the Torah, which is the written law, and then there's the which is the first five books, of course, and then there's the Targum Jonathan on the Ninevim, which means the prophets. In the Targums, Shekinah refers to the glory of the Lord, or the glory of the Eternal. Glory is the Hebrew word kabod. It's K-A-B-O-D, but it's pronounced kabod, meaning divine glory. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "And Solomon spoke, the Eternal said he would dwell in the dark cloud." Now, John Gill's exposition of the Bible says, "And the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, and now was fulfilling his promise, and therefore to be considered not a token of his displeasure, but of his gracious presence. This was done for the greater awe of his divine majesty, and to denote the darkness of the former dispensation." Reference may be had to Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 2. Or rather, this was now said by, you know, the Lord. That is, it appeared to be his resolution and determination to dwell in this manner. The Targum is, for this it says, "The Lord is pleased to cause his Shekinah to, or divine majesty, to dwell in Jerusalem, in the temple there." Shekinah is equivalent with divine majesty as well. Now, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, the Eternal said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother, we've heard this before, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. It was the Shekinah, God's visible presence, that rested above the mercy seat between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. It represented God's throne on earth, as it were. To see where this Shekinah first appeared to the Israelites, we need to go back to Exodus. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 18, Exodus chapter 13, verse 18, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, out of the land of Egypt. Verse 21. Verse 21. And the Eternal went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Here is the Shekinah, the very presence of God, leading the people out of Egypt. Not Moses. Moses didn't lead the people out. God did. Moses followed God. In Exodus chapter 14, in verse 19, it says, and the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it became between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all that night. God's presence, his Shekinah, gave light to the Israelites that night so they can see their way going through the Red Sea. But darkness is what the Egyptian army saw. In Exodus chapter 19, we see the Shekinah rested on Mount Sinai right before God was to proclaim his commandments to the people. And the people are warned not to come near the mountain because of God's glory. Because God's glory would kill anyone instantly if they looked upon it. That's why they were told to stay away from the mountain. It sounds as though the pillar of cloud and fire, you know, may have been a little bit of a toned-down version of the Shekinah as it was leading them. But I'm sure that the people were not able to keep their eyes fixed on it because of the brightness and the light that it provided. I'm sure it was pretty intense. It would be kind of like trying to look at the sun. You know, you can't look at the sun. You look away. You know the sun is there, but you don't look at it. And I feel that's the same way that this cloud of the pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire were like. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 8, where the Hebrew says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The Ankylos, the Targum and Ankylos, it says, I will make my Shekinah dwell among them. God gives Moses instructions on building the Ark of the Covenant, or also known as the Ark of the Testimony. Notice here in verse 21, it says, when you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you. And there I will meet with you. And I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 45. I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. Very key here. And they shall know that I am the Eternal, their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Eternal, their God. Now the Targum on Kilos has, I will make my Shekinah to dwell. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, and he said, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. Now here Moses is asking God to show his true glory to him. Very interesting thing here. He wanted to see his true glory, his kibbod, or his Shekinah. He wanted to see the full force of this thing, his full glory. Meaning that all this time, when you think about it, Moses was in the presence of God, that he only showed him a fraction of his true glory, even to Moses. So I don't think Moses was able but to really look upon him in his full glory. But now Moses is asking if he could. Continuing on in Exodus 33, verse 19. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Eternal before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Eternal said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in a cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Did you notice how God defined his glory? It wasn't just his brilliance. It wasn't just this brightness. It wasn't just this overwhelming light. Did you catch it? Moses says in verse 18, he says, please show me your glory. In verse 19, then the Eternal said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. All my goodness pass before you. God's connecting glory with goodness. Let's think about that in another way. God was defining his glory as his holy, righteous, perfect character. God is goodness, which is the essence of God. His goodness, his character, his temperament, his love. That's what makes him God. God does honor this request of Moses, and which it occurs in Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 9. Moses actually gets this glimpse of the Shekinah as it passes by him. In verse 29, we see that when Moses came down to the people after this, his face was shining so brightly that, you know, because he saw the backside of God's Shekinah. He was just, his face was just shining. The people were scared. And he had to, you know, kind of hide himself because his face was just glowing because of that little bit of a presence of the Shekinah that he actually saw. It's amazing. In Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38, says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Eternal filled the tabernacle, the Shekinah. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Eternal filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward with all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Eternal was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. God's Shekinah was there. His presence was there. God's Shekinah was with them for 40 years in the wilderness. Again, there's not much said about the time of the conquest of Joshua or during the judges about God's presence. Of course, I believe it probably was there. But it was not until the temple was built and the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Holy of Holies, which I mentioned before, that we hear of God's Shekinah resting on the mercy seat. So God's presence was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, resting on the mercy seat. Again, through all the reign of the kings of Judah. So when did God's presence leave the temple? When did God's presence leave the temple? The departure of God's glory. In Ezekiel chapter 8, Ezekiel has a vision that's given to him by God, which shows him all the pagan worship that's going on at the temple, on the Temple Mount, and all the other abominations that the people were doing. This vision continues on in chapter 9 of Ezekiel, where he sees God's glory, his Shekinah. You'll turn to Ezekiel chapter 9. We're going to read that. Ezekiel chapter 9, and we'll begin here. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Eternal said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it. Interesting, this mark upon the people that are horrified by the abominations, the people that are still truly trying to follow God, a mark. And we're sealed with a mark from God as well. But here, you see that he sees the Shekinah. And it's not over the mercy seat. It's at the threshold of the temple. At the entrance of the temple. Now, the visions of chapter 8 and 9, it continues on into chapter 10. So if you look, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 10 and we'll start in verse 3. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Eternal went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple. Here again, it's at the threshold of the temple, getting ready to leave the temple at the threshold. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full with the brightness of the Eternal's glory. The Shekinah. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard, even in the outer court, like the voice of the Almighty God when he speaks. Here is the Shekinah again at the threshold of the temple. Ezekiel is seeing the same portable throne of God in the cherub that he saw in chapter 1. If you remember chapter 1, where he sees this vision of this portable throne coming down with the cherubim and their faces. And he describes the faces pretty much the same way, except for in here he changes the face of the ox to the face of the cherubim. I want to continue in verse 10, verses 18 and 19, I want to read. It says, then the glory of the Eternal departed from the threshold of the temple. Now it leaves. It's completely leaving the temple. And stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them. And they stood at the door of the east gate of the Eternal's house. And the glory of God of Israel was above them. Now the Shekinah moved, and now it was above them. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 22, beginning in verse 22 in Ezekiel. So the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them. The Shekinah was now above them, above this portable throne. And the glory of the Eternal went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. You're not going to believe where this is. Think about it. East side of the city. What mountain is he standing on? Then the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God to Chaldea, to those in captivity. And the vision that I had seen went up from me. Brother, I want to read something from the United Church of God's commentary about this. It says, here we have a lesson from God of considerable importance to us. For us to continue as God's chosen people, he must actually dwell or live among us. Think about that one. He must dwell with us. The people of Israel came to understand this following their exodus from Egypt. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, God instructs Moses, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It was God's intent at that time that he would dwell in the midst of the 12 tribes of Israel in the tabernacle made of goatskins. And his presence was evident in the pillar of cloud illuminated by the divine glory filling the tabernacle. As explained in previous comments, it says a rabbi has later designated this glory by the term Shekinah, meaning indwelling. God's glory later came to dwell in the temple built by Solomon after his fervent and humble prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 7. Now God chose to allow his presence, again evident through the radiance and splendor of his glory, to remain in the temple for centuries. Yet after the Jews had proven their determination to continue in false, adulterous worship, the presence of God did eventually leave the Jerusalem temple prior to its looting and destruction by the Babylonians. Even when the second temple was rebuilt in its place after the return of the Jewish exile, God's glory did not occupy it. Moreover, there is no record of the shimmering, luminous glory ever again occupying an earthly building. However, centuries later, the shepherds saw the glory appear in the sky as the angels announced the birth of the Savior in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Indeed, the coming of Christ in flesh was the essence of God coming to dwell with human beings. And you can reference that with John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And after his death and resurrection, he would again do so through the Holy Spirit. This is key. Later, Stephen proclaimed that the truth that God no longer dwells in temples made with hands in Acts chapter 7, verse 48. As the Apostle Paul explained, God's temple is now his church. The people whom he dwells in through the Holy Spirit. Which is referred to in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And the initial giving of the Spirit to the church was accompanied by miraculous signs of wind and fire, reminiscent of the glory of Ezekiel's vision. On the night before his death, Jesus relayed some very important guidelines for God dwelling in his people through the Holy Spirit. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. The Shekinah is with men of God now. That's John chapter 14, verse 23. Notice, in order for the Father and Jesus Christ to dwell with a person, that person must be obeying Christ's words. The Apostle Paul repeats essentially the same principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, one that I referred to before. It says, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, Christians, are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Paul goes on to follow this with a warning from God. It says, do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. In verse 17. God dwelling among his people or in the hearts and the mind of a person is conditional upon the people or the person being submissive and obedient to God. The presence of any idol or unclean worship will cause God to withdraw his presence. That's what he did in the temple. This is one of the most important lessons that God is using here in Ezekiel to teach us in that chapter. He's not going to put up with abominations or wrongdoing. He's going to leave. In Ezekiel, the Shekinah begins to move. Just to sum this up, in Ezekiel, the Shekinah begins to move out of the temple. The step-by-step exit from Jerusalem is recorded for us here. As the glory of God moved from the Holy of Holies to the threshold or the entryway of the temple, we see that the living cherubim are carrying this mobile throne. They were waiting outside the temple on the south side. The entire house and the courtyard were filled with the surrounding cloud and brightness from God's Shekinah. God's Shekinah left the temple threshold and ascended his mobile throne above the living cherubim, not returning to the physical Holy of Holies within the temple. The cherubim, you know, they may have moved over to meet him as we see them hovering with him above them at the east gate of the temple. Let me explain a little bit about this east gate of the temple. The east gate is probably the one that's referred to as the gates of righteousness or the gates of the eternal. We sang that in the in the third hymn that I had today, the gates of righteousness, you know, it's from Psalms 118, verses 19 and 20, talking about the gates of righteousness. That's why I chose that one. And it's also the everlasting doors, which is mentioned in Psalms 24, verses 7 and 9. It's also called the Sun Gate in the Talmudic passage, Urban 5:22, because the sun would shine actually through it in the morning. Also through this gate traditionally entered the king and the ark in sacred processions. The glory of God leaves the temple through the east gate. Through the east gate. Here goes the Shekinah. It left the temple. Now it's going through the east gate. And it proceeds to the mountain on the east side of Jerusalem. What mountain is that? The Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives. You get this? This is crazy. The Mount of Olives. It mentions that right there in Ezekiel chapter 11, 23. After which, presumably, it ascends to heaven. After Ezekiel was no longer in the vision, it ascended from the Mount of Olives. This path is opposite to the one that Jesus Christ will take when he returns to the earth in power and glory in the future. For at that time, he will first descend to the Mount of Olives. And then, sometime later, following the construction of the millennial temple, he will enter Jerusalem through the east gate, the gate where all the kings go through, accompanied by the glory of God, the Shekinah. He will be glowing. This is all this is mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 through 2. For time's sake, I'm just going to let you look these up. Zechariah 14, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And Matthew 24, verse 27, all shows the path that Christ will take when he returns. And this is the exact opposite of where the Shekinah left. I find that amazing. Indeed, the principal theme in this vision in the whole book of Ezekiel is the departure and the eventual return of God's glory to Jerusalem. Now, a little bit more here from the UCG commentary on Ezekiel chapter 10. It says, God prophesied the departure of his glory well in advance. It says, back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 17 and 18, he had warned, then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? In Hosea chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, God proclaimed, woe to them when I depart from them. All these warnings, Ezekiel included, we should recognize that God was not only talking about ancient destruction he brought on his people, he's also talking about the future of nations today and us individually. All of us have a choice before us of whether to be faithful to God or to reject him. Those are the two choices in life. You only have two choices in life. Follow God or don't. All of us have a choice before us of whether to be faithful to God or to reject him. The Apostle Paul taught that the greatest mystery of all time is Christ in you, the hope of the glory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Jesus Christ living in us through his Spirit is the most wonderful thing a human being can experience in this life. Yet one of the main lessons from Ezekiel is that God stays only where he is wanted and obeyed. This is true of nations. This is true of the church fellowships, and it's true of every individual. God withdrawing is never what he wants. It is people who force it on him. Whenever his place of dwelling, whether a person, a church, a religious organization, or an entire nation, is filled with objects of false worship or idols, like the ones they're selling outside, there is no more room for him. After all, his name is Jealous. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. And he will not share his glory with another. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Satan has organized society so that God is squeezed out. We now have no time for him. Who has time for God? We've got too many distractions out there. The TV, the internet, all the other things. Christ illustrated this in a parable of the sower, with the new plants being choked by the thorns. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 7 and 2, they were choked. They learned the word. They were called by God, but they let everything else out there in the world worry them and choke them, and they were no longer following God. As individuals, we often fill our lives with economic pressure, constant entertainment, and various pursuits, and then we wonder why God is not truly manifest and working in our lives. In the book of Hebrews, it warns us not to neglect so great a salvation as that which has been offered to us. That's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Yet, we at times come to the realization that we are doing just that. As Paul said to all of us, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. The Shekinah, well, it shows up in the New Testament as well. As mentioned before in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood above them, and the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah, shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Also in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, said, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. The bright cloud, the Shekinah of God, overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Paul mentions God's glory in some of his epistles as well. We ain't got time for that. But the Shekinah, God's glory, is his awesome goodness and God's righteous character, which was embodied in Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. His glory is composed of all those things that are part of God's way and character. Remarkably, these godly attributes may and should, by means of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, be transferred to us, unifying us with the Father and the Son, our hope of eternal glory. let's just, in closing here, let's just focus on Jesus Christ here. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it gives us information we need to know. Who was that God that led them? Who was the God in the wilderness? Who was the eternal that walked with them, that led them, that protected them, that resided with them, and was present with them for those 40 years? John chapter 1. That clock must be wrong. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of the men. And the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is the life. He's the light. It says so here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. We're talking about the Shekinah here. It is now in Christ. We see a little bit of the Shekinah right here when we're reading this. Now verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It says here, dwelt. But the Greek, the word is the definite noun for tabernacle. So it says that God tabernacled with us, or Christ tabernacled. So the Shekinah was there. The Shekinah was part of Christ now, among those, seeing the glory. Now, where was the Shekinah? Well, they said it dwelt in the Holy of Holies, above the mercy seat between the cherubim and the tabernacle. So what he's saying here is that the Shekinah, the glory of God, the one that led Israel through the wilderness, as well as the Creator, as well as the life giver, as well as the God who is always with God, the spokesman who always gave the commands to Israel and the whole world, is the one, the same one, who became flesh. John 1, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and we beheld His glory, holy, righteous, perfect character of grace and truth. So that summarizes the glory of God and what it means to us. We see the fullness of grace, the fullness of the truth, the excellence, the preeminence of God. So this light, this Word, became a human being, tabernacled among us. In humanity, specifically the apostles here, beheld His glory. Jesus Christ, the Word, dwelt or resided among us. Physically, He was among His people, but where is God's presence today? Where is God's presence today? Where is His glory today? This glory can be transferred to us. It was not only beheld in the Word who became flesh, but His grace and truth, the glory of God, can be transferred to us. Turn over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Christ says, in the glory which you gave me, I have given them. He transferred his glory to us, that we may be one just as they are one. Have you ever thought about it that way? We can take on the glory of God, the Shekinah. We have been granted the glory of God. Christ says he has given it to us. We are exhibiting the glory of God, or are we? I should make this a question. Are we exhibiting the glory of God in our lives? It unifies us with the Father and the Son. It is their glory, and that glory is to reside in us. It's to reside in us because we were said to be the temple of the living God. We're the temple of God, and God's glory resides in his temple. Think about that. If we have to put on Christ, if we are converted, we have God's Holy Spirit. The Shekinah rests upon us now through God's Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, and says, we are baptized into Christ and put on Christ. If Christ is in us, we have the glory of God in us. And what shape does the glory of God take? It takes on his character. It takes on this attitude. That's certainly what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says. Put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. That's godly character. We have to be exhibiting the glory of God through the character of God that's shown through us and in us. And there's no wonder, as you think about the pillar of the fire and the pillar of the cloud that stayed with the children of Israel for 40 years, through the entire time that they were going through the trials and the testing in the wilderness, it took them out of Egypt. It took them to the promised land. Does the Spirit of God in us lead to the ultimate promised land? It should. It took them through the Red Sea. God's Spirit led us as we face the challenges, or leads us as we face challenges and trials that surround us today. At Sinai, they received the law through the power of the Spirit of God. We too have the law of God. We understand what sin is. He has given it to us so that we can overcome and we can be led through the wilderness of this world on this amazing journey towards the ultimate promised land of his kingdom, the kingdom of God. God will never leave us or forsake us. Remember that. You see, without that goodness, that glory of God in us, we would never make it. There's no chance of making it without that. We never would have access to the kingdom of God without it. God's presence isn't just before us. It's not just ahead of us, but it is in us. If you have God's Holy Spirit, it's in us. So we have then the responsibility to continue to live sin-free according to that holiness, because his glory, that Shekinah, that is what's in there in us through his Holy Spirit. When we take on the glory of God and show it, exhibit our lives, what does that do? It unifies us with the Father and the Son. We have the same glory as they do. They're in us. God's glory resides in us. The Shekinah is no longer between the cherubim on the mercy seat. We are the temple of the living God.